having going out for lunch to Goshala. I think if you wanted, you could come along.
Yeah.
You got anything planned?
We just have to choose up some crowns that we worked on yesterday, and they didn't come back with us. And all the shops are saying that they're not any of the shops. It's £100 worth of crowns, so we were going to go down to Bazaar and see if we can track them down. And we're phoning up the shops that we thought they were at, and they say that they're not there.
No, no, but I'm saying we've got anything on for lunch.
But we can do that to the money. Yuga, the soul, a lot of the souls, most of the souls go to hell for their sinful activities, and for the activities they're performing, they go there for a long time, and eventually they come back. So do the souls that take birth in Satya Yuga in human form, are they the souls that have been through the hellish planets and now they're so careful? Wherever they do that, they're eligible then to take birth in such a yoga as human beings.
Well, suffering doesn't necessarily make them eligible, but since that's the cycle, that the universe goes through, then they'll either take birth as human beings, or they just may remain, depends what their fate is, what their karma is, or they remain sleeping in the body of Mahavishnu until such a age comes which is commensurate with their karma, with their fate. So Satya Yuga, you have to perform activities to warrant that. It may be that those who are in the Kali Yuga in the previous age deserve that, but everything's based on cause and effect, what do people deserve, and that's what they get. So that's why our whole efforts in Krishna consciousness are to perform activities whereby we get to deserve a spiritual body and go back to Godhead. So that's by sadhana and by service, those two things. Say someone becomes qualified for something, it's because they become qualified because they perform activities that qualifies them for something, and that's all. That's the way the world works. People just get what they deserve. Nothing more, nothing less. Unless Krishna, of course, can intervene. That's what causeless mercy means. That people get a good result which is more than what they deserve. They don't really deserve it. And in that sense, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing that. He's giving us all more than what we deserve. He's not going solely on the basis of what your qualification is, but Krishna prema pradayati, even not qualified for Krishna prema, still he's willing to give it if you're willing to take it. And that's why we become really sort of the recipients of causeless mercy. We're getting something way beyond what we actually deserve.
First to being a yellow incarnation of Krishna in every Kali Yuga. So if it's not Lord Chaitanya, who's the...
It's someone else. Just like the blackish incarnation isn't Krishna also. So Pita. Suklo ratatata Pita. These are the colors that white, red, black, blackish, and yellow. Same thing that they, in order to an incarnation comes who is commensurate with the qualification of the people. So according to their propensity, according to their advancement in spiritual life, according to their bhava, then that type of incarnation appears. Prabhupada makes this, says this phrase that Krishna appears in order to fulfill the desires of his devotees, or according to the way in which his devotees want to worship him. And so when Krishna appears, very few people, Srila Prabhupada points out, are really qualified to understand him. More or less, he's appearing for his own sweet will. So since most people, period, don't really understand the process of spontaneous devotional service after Krishna's appearance, Lord Chaitanya comes so that more people can get benefit from Krishna's avatar, Krishna's incarnation. And that's why the two come together. Otherwise, no one will be qualified to really understand why it is that what it is that Krishna's come to give. Even in previous ages, the tendency is meditation. People have some inclination towards yoga, and after that, they're worshipping yajna with awe and reverence. These things aren't necessarily conducive for understanding Krishna and for entering into the mood of the Vrijavasis. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and he teaches those who are left in this age that what is actually the meaning of Krishna's appearance, and how we can come to understand that and benefit our lives from it. multiple incarnations are also appearing according to the qualification of the people at the time.
So is there something special about the people in the Kali Yuga when Lord Chaitanya appears?
Well, there's nothing special about them. The speciality is Lord Chaitanya. He's making them qualified, and the connection between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the people of Kali Yuga is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very, very merciful. So he not only engages them in Sankirtan, Nam Sankirtan, but he not only engages them in Nam Sankirtan, but he also gives Braj Bhakti, which other yellow incarnations don't do. They give Vairi Bhakti, they give devotees access through chanting of the Lord's names to Vaikuntha. Not to Vrindavan. So what people of Kali Yuga and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have in common is the one is fallen and the other one is particularly merciful to the fallen.
I have one question for Maharaj about impersonalism, because generally impersonalism is linked to the Prabhupada, refers to impersonalism as philosophical speculation, but in
mental speculation.
I was reading in Nectar and Devotion, you were saying philosophical speculation. Isn't it that most people are impersonal just because of either they're lazy or because they just have a fear of a personal spiritual identity? After the first development of the purpose and Bhagavad Gita, that's one of the causes of eternal attachment.
There may be many reasons why. If you're talking about impersonalists or my bodies? Impersonalists may be attached to philosophical speculation. My bodies is a different thing.
So most people aren't really proper impersonalists, they're just...
No, but which were you talking about? Impersonalists or my bodies, please?
Just wherever the general thing is that people are, in general, you know, most people don't really...
Because there's a difference between impersonalists and my bodies. My bodies deny the personal future of the Lord. Impersonalists don't necessarily deny it, they just have a preference for his impersonal future.
Well, if a person is attempting to perform pure devotional service and the impurities that are there are gyan and karma, is the gyan that's being referred to there impersonal philosophical speculation or my body or just laziness or combination of all of this?
Oh, laziness is not. You don't become a real gyani by being, you can't be lazy by being, or can't be gyani by being lazy. It's not laziness. But if Gyan, in that sense, means a lot of things. It means attachment to mental speculation, attachment to philosophical speculation. It means attachment to liberation and to impersonal Brahman. It means attachment to liberation, just to become free from material suffering. All of that's implied by the word Gyan. Too much emphasis on philosophy instead of to the extent of negating your spiritual emotions and surrender, trying to actually just advance in spiritual life through study, and then instead of actually surrendering to Krishna. Different things that are by the word jnana.